I was thinking again this afternoon about this story of Paul in Athens on Mars Hill, and he was talking to this group of people, and they had many gods, but one god, they didn't know his name, and they said, he's the unknown god. If we left anybody out, let's worship one other, the unknown god. And Paul said, I know who you're talking about. And he used it as a bridge to talk about our God, Jehovah God. And he said, up until this point, you've been worshiping him ignorantly. And listening to you guys sing, I think I've been singing ignorantly up until then. But all of us get to that point where we feel, have I been doing something out of ignorance? Have I been, and I know Jehovah God, you know, I know the true God. And Paul went on and said, God doesn't fit in a temple made with hands, and God's not an idol. God can't be made with gold or silver, and God wants us to know him. In verse 27 of Acts 17, Paul said, they that should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets, of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And Paul said, whether or not you know his name, whether or not you acknowledge him as the one and only God, he's not far off. He's not far off from you. And Paul used that opportunity, like we should still use opportunity. Paul, the same man that said, be all things to all men. And he said, I'll take a little bit of your ignorance to an unknown God and tell you about the God that I know and how you can not worship ignorantly, but worship the way you should worship a God not made with hands, a God that won't fit in a tabernacle, won't fit in a temple, but a God that's not far off. And tonight, I don't want to be, I always feel this way, but I don't want to be the ignorant one. I don't want to be the one that doesn't get the message or the one that doesn't get the joke. I don't want to be the one that laughs last at the punchline or just doesn't get it or whatever the case may be. I don't want to be the ignorant one. And I think that's probably true for all of us. None of us want to go through life and say, well, you were this close. You know, God was not far off, but you missed it. And Paul got to use that opportunity of their ignorance to teach them something. And again, our God doesn't fit in a building. This is a great building. I love being in a building that's dedicated to God. When we went to college, they built a new auditorium, and everything about it was geared toward, you know, preaching the cross, all the music, everything that went on was geared toward worshiping and honoring and bringing God's people together to honor God. But God doesn't fit in a building, and God doesn't fit in our understanding. In Philippians, our theme verse for last year, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And again, the Apostle Paul said, I'll do whatever I can to understand. I want to get it. I want to understand it. I don't want to be ignorant. When we sing with the smaller kids, somebody saw me carrying these in, but we sing the songs in junior church, and one of our favorites that we sing it almost every week is, My God is so great. Some of you might have heard it, My God is so big. But my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And we sing it twice, and then we say, the mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so great and so strong, so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And that's a familiar song to us, talking about how big God is and how easy it is for us to not understand it, how easy it is for us to just stop and say we get it without getting it. One other song, I've heard it when we came out to go to church tonight. Chantel said I had a look on my face, and I think this is why. I heard this song as a sermon illustration before, but it's not in the hymnal, and you may never hear it again. You might have heard it a long time ago. It goes like this. I got a gal that's mighty sweet with blue eyes and tiny feet. Her name is Rosabel McGee, and she tips the scale at 303. But ain't it grand to have a girl so big and fat that when you hug her, you don't know where you're at? You have to take a piece of chalk in your hand and hug away and chalk a mark to see where you began. One day I had a yen for someone leaner. She was meaner than a mink in a pen. So I left her, and now I'm happy as a fellow could be, hugging and chalking in once again round my Rosie, hugging and chalking in once again. And Chantel knows we heard that as a sermon illustration talking about God. You can get your arms around a piece of God and say, here's the love of God, or here's the grace of God, here's the mercy of God. And you make a chalk mark, and you say, all right, I get it. And then you move on, and you move to another aspect of God, and you make a chalk mark, and you say, I get it, hugging and chalking. And God's that way. We could, you know, go through the Bible. Hopefully we go through the Bible and say, I get it. You know, God delivered Moses and the Israelites. I get it. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. I get it. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. I get it. I make a mark, and I make a and I hug, and I chalk. But there's some things we know about God, and there's some things we don't know about God. And what I've learned in 30 years is you have to get comfortable with what you know and get comfortable with what you don't know. I don't know about each of you, but Sunday, the reason, if there is a reason I don't like Sunday, it's because it's the least comfortable day of the week, except for if we have old-fashioned day. But you have to wear 13 layers of clothes, and enough, nothing fits right. And Terry and Phyllis actually got this suit for me, and it's the most comfortable one I have. But it's still a little uncomfortable compared to, you know, Monday when you can just wear a regular shirt and a regular pair of pants or whatever it is you wear the rest of the week. But getting comfortable with what you know and what you don't know. One of the things we don't know about God as we go along hugging and chalking, we don't know the when. Jesus said, the day of that day when God returns, then hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God knows when he's coming back. I don't know that. I need to get comfortable not knowing that because it's not mine to know. Jesus said, take heed, watch, and pray. This is in Mark chapter 13. It says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So nobody knows. And I can either be uncomfortable with that fact, or I can be comfortable that I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to know so I can make excuses. If I knew that God was coming back next week, my excuse would be, we are truly living in the last 7 days of life on earth, so it couldn't get any worse, or it couldn't get much worse than it is right now, so that's my excuse, and I'll go with it. I'd like to know, because then I could know, and I could coast a little bit. I don't know about you, hopefully you haven't been through this many times, but when you're getting ready to end or quit a job, maybe it was when you retired. All my jobs up until this one were always tied to the school year, or, you know, I was either starting school or summer break or going back to school or leaving where I went to school and coming back home. So I knew when the last day was, you know. I knew when the last day was, and to be honest, that last day wasn't always my most productive day because I knew the day after that day I didn't have to answer for anything that I had done. Now, I didn't steal anything, and I didn't sit around and waste time. But I'll be honest, it wasn't the best day of work I gave to that job because I knew it was the last day. And the same thing is true with Christ's return. Since we don't know, we need to watch. I'd like to be comfortable with the fact that I don't know. In 1 Thessalonians, it's compared in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the coming of Christ is compared to a woman with child. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And I'll use Aaron as an example. When he was about to be born, he had a due date, but he didn't come on his due date. So all the way up until that due date, we were getting ready. It was terrible. We had to take classes, and I'll never be the same. We had to watch videos, and we had to carry these big pillows around and sit on the floor and practice breathing. And every day until Aaron came, we were preparing. Even after it was past the due date, and I still had my bag packed, you know, I was still ready to go at any time. And then if finally it was time. And then once he was ready to come, we couldn't stop him. You know, when Chantel woke up and said, hey, you know, it's time, we got to go to the hospital, I couldn't hunker down in the fetal position and say, no, I'm not ready, you know, I can't go. I had to be ready. I had to be prepared. And the same thing is true with Christ. When he finally decides to come, I can't stop it. It's going to happen. So I should get comfortable with the fact that I don't know when it's going to happen and be ready, be prepared, and be not just, not sleeping, not, again, Aaron's case, I was asleep when it was time, but being ready and not. And since I cannot know, I should be comfortable with the fact that I don't know. We don't know the wins. So, and not just that win. I always use that as an example because too many times it's too easy just to say, since I don't know, I won't think about it. But God wants us to be ready. And we don't know the whys in life. In Exodus, the children of Israel asked Moses, they asked him why. And Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh got mad and said, it's your job to make bricks, but I want you to make bricks without straw. Take away the straw. And the people came to Moses and said, you said you were going to be our deliverance. You said you were going to get us out of here. You're making our life worse. And Moses in Exodus 5 said, to Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" And Moses questioned God's call on his life. He said, "You know, I saw the burning bush. I heard your voice. I did what you wanted me to do. You made their lives worse. You hurt them through me. God, you used me to hurt people." And Moses stopped and went back to God and said, "Why did you let this happen?" And we all have whys in life. Look up, you know, if you just look up the word why in the Bible, Moses asked why. God's people asked Moses why. Why'd you bring us out here to die? Why'd you bring us out to out of Egypt? You know, we had something to eat. We had a place to stay. And you brought us out in the wilderness to die. And Job asked why. Job said over and over again, "If I've sinned, give me forgiveness. If I've done something wrong, tell me what I did wrong." I read something, our old pastor's wife, Mrs. Vaprazan, had a thing on her Facebook page talking about when the teacher is giving a test, speaking about God being our teacher, and you wonder where the person giving the test is, and then she said when the teacher is always quiet when they're giving a test. And Job was going through a test, and he felt like he had passed the test. He said, "I haven't sinned. I've confessed anything in my heart." And again, Job said why to God. Gideon asked why. Gideon had heroes of the faith. And he said, "If God's with us, why has this befallen us?" Over and over again, all throughout the Bible, people that we don't like ask why, and people that we look up to as heroes ask why. The entire book of Psalms, David kind of speaks for each of us. When we get down in the dumps and we don't understand what's going on, over and over again, David says, "God, where are you?" And David says, "Why has this happened? Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning?" Because of the oppression of the enemy. And this is kind of heavy. I was talking to the junior church about the Beatitudes. Jesus started out the Beatitudes saying, "You're blessed if you're without something. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit." All those are things that people realize you're missing something. Because you have to realize you don't have it in order to realize that you need it. And over again, people in the Bible ask why. And I thought to myself, I need to get comfortable without an answer to that question. I need to get comfortable not knowing when, and I need to get comfortable not knowing why. And the whys always go back to God. I remember when I was a kid, and this is true with Aaron too, when I was a kid, I loved to ask why. Anything, you can always come back with why. You know, go to bed. Why? Because it's time for bed. Why? Because that's the time I decide you go to bed. Why? Because I'm your dad. Why? Aaron does the same thing. Why? And it always goes back to, I don't know, or I'm your dad, or because that's what God wanted. And it always goes back to the authority that God set up. And I used to think that, well, that's kind of a cop-out, you know, just blame it on God. But I got to get comfortable with, I don't know why, because that's what God wants. I don't always have an answer. I don't always, hardly ever have the right answer, but I know the one that does have the answer. Now, I got to get comfortable in the fact that I don't always know why. If it was up to me, it might be different, but I don't know why. Now, I know it means I have to admit that I don't know everything, but I do know I have a need that only God can fill. So take comfort in that. Take comfort in not knowing the answer to everything and not knowing, but in knowing the one who knows why and knowing the one who knows when. Even though we don't always know why, we don't always know when, we know we'll find out in a while. Now, if you're talking about the coming of Christ, when the Apostle Paul wrote that, he might have thought it was in his lifetime, but it wasn't. Apostle Paul is still waiting on Christ to return to earth. So he is still waiting. He's still waiting a while to find out when Christ returns. Hopefully, in his life, the whys have been explained. But in our life, we might still have to wait. We do have to wait on the when, and we have to wait on the why. But while you're waiting and while you're getting comfortable, and I know it takes some of us longer to get comfortable with it than others, there are a few things that are not afar off. Paul said, this unknown God that you've been worshiping, if you'd stop and listen, I can tell you about him. He's bigger than your temples. He's not made with hands. He's not an idol. You need to get the idols out of your life. He's the only true God. He's the only one you should worship. And you shouldn't worship him ignorantly, but he's not far off. And here are some things that are not far off. God's leadership in our life is not far off. If you don't know the when, and maybe the when is Christ coming back. Maybe the when is fixing a relationship that it's messed up in your life. Maybe the when is a financial need or a health need or just an emotional crisis you're going through. You can't even put your finger on what it is, but something's not right. While you're waiting, God's leadership in your life is not far off. In Isaiah it says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." I appreciate Brother Terry's testimony. I like the old stories. I like stories from people that lived 100 years ago that talk about God delivering them in a wonderful way. But I like the stories that happened last week about God delivering them and leading in a wonderful way. And God is there. God is there to lead us. The Bible says in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Even though we don't know the winds and we don't know the whys, we can still delight and be comfortable that God is not far off. His leadership is not far off in our life. In Psalm 73, it says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." So while we wait and while we get comfortable, we can know that God is not afar off in his leadership. He's not afar off in his faithfulness to us. God is not a man. This is in Numbers 23. I like the ones that don't pop out. Numbers 23, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" And again, Romans 8:28, "God works all things together for good." We don't know the when of Romans 8:28. We don't know the why sometimes, but we do know that our God works all things together for good. And if God says he'll do it, he'll do it. It might be in his time. It might be in his way. We might not understand it right away. His leadership is not far off. His faithfulness in our life is not far off. And his help that's stronger than our fears is not far off. All throughout the Bible, it talks about the help that God gives us and the fear that we have to overcome. The fear that we have to get comfortable, sometimes we have to live with it. And Isaiah 41 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." In Proverbs chapter 3, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian, and she lived during the Nazi Holocaust. And her family got to help many Jewish people escape Adolf Hitler, escape death. And her father was arrested and held in a concentration camp, and she and her brother and her nephew were held and released. And after she was released from being close to death, being held by the people that hated her and hated her people, she wrote a book called The Hiding Place, and she gave a lot of speeches and traveled throughout the country talking about her experiences. And one of the stories she told was about her father. They were going on a trip, and they had a trunk full of luggage. You know, used to, you couldn't go on a trip and buy everything you needed there, and trips took a lot longer than they do now, so it was quite a bit of luggage. It was very heavy. And at the same time they were on this trip, Corrie ten Boom had been talking to some of her friends, and she had something she was curious about. Now, her father didn't think she was old enough to know everything she wanted to know, but she wanted to know it, and she kept asking. And she was sitting next to her dad on the train, and she said, "I want to know what this is. I want to know all about it." And he said, and he turned to his daughter and said, "Hey, when we get off the train, will you carry this trunk?" And she said, "Why are you going to make me carry the trunk? It's heavy." And he said, "Well, you know, I'm your dad. I'm used to carrying it for you. But if you really want it, you can carry it yourself." And she said, "It's pretty heavy. I really don't want to carry it." And the father turned to his daughter and said, "You know, some knowledge is the same way. You know, you want to know all the answers right now. You want it all spelled out for you. You want the whys and the whens and the hows and everything. You want it all spelled out. But some of that knowledge is too heavy for you, Corrie, so I'll carry it for you. Now, I can keep carrying it for you, or I can give you a load you can't handle." And the same thing's true with God. A lot of times we want to know it all. I'd like to know when God's coming back. I'd like to know why God tests me and why God allows things to happen in my life. But it's probably too heavy for me to carry right now. It's probably too much for me to handle, so God gives me what I can handle. Understanding the whys and the whens might be far off. God doesn't have a timeline that we can hold him to. God doesn't have he never promised to tell us when and tell us why until we get to heaven. And understanding the winds may be off. You may have to die and then wait a while. It might not even be answered for you when you get to the pearly gates. You might have to wait a while before God answers all your questions. But in the meantime, the one that we know, God will lead us, God will be faithful to us, and God will give us help over our fears. And that's all we need for right now. He can go ahead and carry the trunk, and we'll be fine with him having the knowledge and knowing what we need. If you're here tonight, there's one fear that you might be carrying that you need to get rid of. And Jesus already has paid the price for your sin. I'm talking about the sin that holds us back, the sin that keeps us from trusting Christ. Jesus already paid for that. There's sin in each of our lives, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if there's sin in our life and we haven't dealt with that, we haven't asked Christ to save us, we're not sure of a home in heaven, that is a burden we don't have to carry. That's one thing we shouldn't be comfortable with. That's one thing we should cast and give to Jesus, trusting in him. And if you're here tonight like that, we can show you from God's word how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. But many of us have that settled. Many of us, hopefully all of us, have that settled. We know for sure we're going to heaven, but we're still a little uncomfortable. You know, we're still in these layers of clothes and the belt and all the, you know, if you're a lady, you have the makeup and everything you gotta do in order to be where you're supposed to be and, you know, look nice and smell nice. And you're a little uncomfortable and you don't like the way things are fitting right now. You're being rubbed the wrong way because you don't know the whys, you don't know the whens, and you want the knowledge that God's not ready to give you. And all of us need to get to the place where we can get comfortable with what we don't know. Jesus paid the price for our sin, but he's also paying the price of bearing the burdens that we can't handle. Be comfortable not knowing the whens and the whys, but be comfortable knowing that God knows, and God is not far off. His faithfulness, his leadership in our life, his help that's always there for us. Even if he can't explain it to us, he can still help us through the trial. And one day we'll understand it, we'll know it better. By and by, I appreciate the songs that we're saying tonight. If we could really trust God enough, we wouldn't have to ask why, even though everybody asks why. If we really trust God enough, we wouldn't have to ask when, even though we all still ask when. So that's my point tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Again, if you're here tonight and you find yourself uncomfortable trusting, you find yourself uncomfortable with the sin that you can't pay for, you need to trust in Christ. Make sure you have a home in heaven. We can help you with that tonight. And God can help you with the rest. God can help you get where you need to be. Be comfortable with him having the knowledge and you trusting in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you give us in life. Thank you for using each one of us in our ignorance, Lord. We might be off in our worship. We might not be off in our understanding and how we hug and chalk and try to understand you and do the best we can to understand how big you are and how awesome your love for us is, Lord. Please don't give up on us. Please help us trust more. Help us get comfortable with what we don't know. Help us be comfortable enough to share you and share your love with somebody else in the next few days. Again, Lord, we don't know when you're coming back. We don't know why we go through all that we go through, but help us to trust. Help us to trust you each and every day in all of life circumstances. Bless this invitation. Again, Lord, if there's someone here, help them come forward. You know, everybody in this room would be happy to see somebody that's not sure of heaven receive Christ tonight. Know for sure they're going to heaven. I pray that you'd encourage them, help them make that right tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.